With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 297. The box office report has returned. Fear not.
Hooray.
Don't worry, dear listeners.
And there was much rejoicing. And for those of you that keep score at home, it's the box office report for the week ending July 17th, 2017. So before we dig in, let's just get right to going around the table where everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Dan is out.
But he will be joining us on the next episode.
He will be joining us for Planet of the Apes, but he had a children's birthday party to attend.
Correct.
To.
Yes.
So but he was here for Planet of the Apes, so you'll get to hear that.
But he will be here for Planet of the Apes.
He will be here for...
Yeah.
We recorded him backwards.
Do you think that he'll bring us some cotton candy?
There's a peek behind the curtain. So some shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes where you can go rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us tremendously. Like our Facebook page, won't you? Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. You can also join the League of Show Sharers Facebook group, where it's a little bit easier for you to post things for other listeners to see. Doesn't get throttled quite as much by our overlords at Facebook. So there we go. I think that's all of our shameless plugs. If you would like to join the League of Show Sharers, here are some people that were kind enough to share the show this week. I think we might have a new show sharer or two in here.
Of course,
it's a shame Dan isn't here to sing them a welcoming song.
Dan does take over, or Joe takes over Dan's
show. No, he doesn't.
We apologize to the newbies. Maybe Dan will call you at home and leave one on your answering machine. So people that were kind enough to share the show this week: Brett Schulte, Dylan A. Lang.
I think that's it.
That's a new one. Timmy Tuzoons, Travis Tewitt, Brad Hayen, Brandon Coleman.
That could be a new one.
I think that is also a new one, so thank you. Zach Bach, Jason Herndon, Chris Sanders, Julianne Jordan, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Linnea Thunsell, Jason Weesey, Brent Smith, Griffin Fox Smith, Tammy Sherman Powers, Tom Comiskey, Lane Levanway, Librarian Cynthia, Richard Lawson.
Chris, is that a new one?
He's relatively new. He was
last week?
Yeah, I think he did last week. So Chris James and Nick Scott. So thanks, everybody, for sharing the show. We greatly appreciate it. If for some reason you've shared the show and we haven't said your name, we say this from time to time because it's true. The things that aren't true, we say all the time.
All the time.
If your privacy settings are locked down, then I can't see it when I comb through who shared the episode. So if you're sharing and not hearing your name, that's why.
Just open those bitches up.
You can do one of two things. You can adjust your privacy settings, or you can friend me on Facebook, in which case I can see it. Facebook.
Or you could just send us a message. Like,
yeah,
somehow.
It's hard to keep track of.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't want to have to comb through 90 messages. Like, that's a lot to keep track of.
I know it's hard, but just become friends with Tom on Facebook.
If you
care that much.
You'll just see a lot of pictures of me on vacation with my family. It's not that bad. I am apolitical on Facebook.
Have no fear.
You don't have
listener.
To hear that for the most part.
And
so.
Asexual.
No, I'm asexual everywhere. So there we go. There's all of our shameless plugs. We will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his rusty abacus at the ready. Kevin?
No, it's we kept it in storage, and it was really maintained. Like those Ziploc bags that you seal up and take the air out of.
Oh, I thought we put in some of those like things those things they put in beef jerky that say do not eat.
A little weird not those, salt packets.
No, yeah. We went to the Ziploc safe sealer or whatever the system is.
You know
that,
why they say do not eat?
Why not?
Because they're delicious. I can't get enough of them.
I ate it one time and I never went back.
That's why the trash men are so happy at your house, you know, with all that beef jerky you eat.
Oh.
I was like, you throw them away.
I eat salt packets. I eat the freshness packets.
They take them all out of your trash and eat them.
They're super excited.
Don't even have to leave them a Christmas card. But yes, The Abacus is raring to go, and the number one movie of the week is the new one, and it is War for the Planet of the Apes. It brought in $54 million, and the budget was $150 million, so it took a nice chunk out of the budget there. Let's see. It says right now there's already about a $50 million foreign take on it, so we're really at around $100 million on $150 million, so that's pretty good.
It's pretty solid.
You know, I think that word of mouth is going to be good on this one.
Yeah.
I think that it's going to have a strong second week, even though there's Atomic Blonde and the Valerian movie. I feel like this movie can still hold its own against both of those. So,
probably. I would agree. I mean, their audiences might be
Not that those will do terrible, but I feel like with the word of mouth, it's still going to be
really
strong.
I feel like Atomic Blonde, if it's good, will like go veer into that John Wick category where it just sticks around for a little bit.
Yeah,
definitely. So that was about $100 million on a $150 million. So we'll see where that goes in future weeks. Number two, Spider-Man Homecoming. I believe that was the movie of the week last week.
Yep.
And it made another $47 million. So a 60% drop. But that's after a very heavy opening weekend, $210 million.
I think they said, I thought I read somewhere that it's a 73% drop from Friday to Friday, which is massive. That's a pretty big drop.
But, I mean, they're going to have a huge front... A movie like that...
It's very front-loaded. Yeah, and right. War for Planet of the Apes is going after...
Same demo.
Same demo.
Yeah,
and it's
sure.
good.
Yeah.
So that doesn't
That's
help.
True. That's also true.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, right now we're looking at around 144 and on top of the 210 gross just in domestic alone. So you're still over 350 million in 2 weeks, and that's on a $175 million budget. So they've nearly doubled it, made their money back.
Sure.
So
yeah.
They
made a good movie.
That's also true.
That's another one that's going to have legs, even with Atomic Blonde and Valerian in this movie. It's like Spider-Man's going to stick around for.
I see what you're
doing. I think especially when we start hitting the door. Doldrums of August, and there's a
might
lot.
See a spike.
Yeah, I mean, remember the first Guardians of the Galaxy? Part of the reason it made so much money is it was August. I mean, it's a good movie. I'm not trying to, you know, but it was also August, and
there's
so people were like,
there.
"Well, let's go see it again."
Yeah, let's do it.
Definitely. So it will definitely make some money. No doubt about that. Number three, Despicable Me 3. It made $20 million, which is a 40% drop. That is in week three as well, so they got the triple hit there.
Did anybody see that? Did you see that?
Yeah.
How was it?
I'm so done with these movies.
Are you done with the movies because of the Minions or the movies in general?
You know, I will say, to their credit, I feel like they minimized the influence of the Minion.
That's what I heard on this
Minion-mize.
Minion-mize.
I think if you like the Minions and you go to see Despicable Me 3, you get an appropriate amount of Minions for a Despicable Me movie.
Yeah, I heard that people were disappointed there were so few Minions. I heard they really minimized them.
I think part of what makes them feel so minimized in the film is that they get their own subplot. So they get separated from Gru at all. and so they're off doing their own thing.
I gotcha. So
it's almost like they're a separate movie because they're separated for so long from the rest of the cast. And then they finally get back in like the last 10 or 15 minutes.
And we saw how well that separate movie worked out for them. So
It made a bunch of money.
I mean, story-wise, it was terrible.
It was a terrible movie, but it made a bunch of money. And
but the Gru Minion interaction, that's what made it in the first one. Like, that was what was so enjoyable.
Despicable Me has a Gru problem.
Interesting.
And the problem is that what made that first one great was he was a villain.
That's true.
And so the story arc of that film was he's no longer a villain. So now what do you do with him? Like, what you liked about him, you said he's not going to do anymore.
Right.
And so they tried to have him be like, oh, he'll fight bad guys in the second one. And that was it. And so in this one, they introduce his twin brother.
Drew.
Yeah, because that makes sense, because Gru's his last name. Let's not forget that.
Is it really?
Yeah. So, but so they introduce his twin brother, and I'm just going to ruin the movie for you.
His name is Drew Gru?
Yes. So, although they never say that, they act like Gru's first name. But yeah.
So her name's going to be
but
Julia.
I'm almost
Julia?
Positive in the first movie that they tell you that Gru is his last name.
Oh,
but,
I remember. It's been a long time.
Well, when I was at the ride in Universal, I will say they show the family tree, and it says the something, something, something family tree. So it doesn't say Gru family tree.
I could have sworn the first
they give
one
him Gru- a last name and on the ride. So
yeah, I could have sworn the first one Gru is his last name. But anyway, he has a twin brother, and the way this movie ends is so they partner up to beat the bad guy in this movie. But the way this movie ends is the brother goes off to be a bad guy, and now Gru has to go fight him, and that's kind of how it ends. So I think that maybe they recognize that, because I will say I did not really care for Despicable Me 3. It was better than Minions, but like I was very just indifferent. I was very happy that it was 90 minutes long. Oh,
that's how is Trey Parker as the 80s villain?
I just didn't find the 80s villain funny at all. It just, I mean, it wasn't his fault. There was nothing about it was funny to me. Yeah. I will say, having sat through a movie I didn't particularly care for, at the end of it, I was like, well, the movie you just set up for seems infinitely more interesting than the movie you just did. And so, and I think by having his twin brother, it kind of lets them have their cake and eat it too, that they can have
both
the brother over there doing the villainy stuff, and the minions, I'm thinking, will probably go off with Dru and then Gru gets to be a good guy.
Yeah.
And you, but you still get to see basically Gru doing
it is,
bad
it
stuff.
Is Gru.
Yeah, right. So you, like I said, you get to have your cake and eat it too.
Does he voice both?
Yes. Yes,
oh,
he does.
So it is, so
all I could think is that line from the wedding singer where it's like, hey, her name's gonna be
Julia Gulia? Yeah.
No,
yeah, why?
Nothing. What I keep thinking of, wait a minute, your last name's Mario? So you're Mario Mario and Luigi Mario?
Yeah. That's where you went with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's Dru Gru, and he's Gru Gru. So the Despicable Me 3 did have an $80 million budget, which for those movies that make $1 billion, they can make those on an 80?
I can't believe that.
It's that small?
I can't believe that for the third film in this franchise, they kept the budget under $100 million.
Why he's got to have a chunk of the back end then.
Something.
Because 80 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
this has names in it.
Yeah, but if you're a studio, like, I've never understood the idea that if your first one, if you make a movie at a $75 million budget and it makes $1 billion, well, so, okay, $700 million, why would you, if you can do the, why would you give it $100 million for the second one?
You usually can't because all the people have to make more money and more actors.
Gru's first name is Felonious. It's Felonious Gru.
So that's what it said, the Felonious family tree at the park.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
I know, but that's what it said. Yeah. I couldn't remember because it was like the very bottom. It said Felonious.
And the kids are referred to, it's Margot Gru, Edith Gru. Okay. They refer to them by as Gru as a surname.
That's
so
weird they go by the...
Dru Gru. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Felonious.
Felonious Gru. And Dru.
But they call his family tree the Felonious family tree. So they all give first names, I guess. I don't know.
That's stupid.
But,
that's stupid.
But no, you usually can't, Joe, because they up the animation. CGI gets better, so which more people, more computers,
yeah, I guess
more
that's
time.
True. Yeah.
More actors, they just more is to it, you know, they up the ante in hopes to make it better, and
right,
you know,
that makes sense.
But 80 million, that's incredible. I mean, this movie has been out for what, 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Before this weekend, the estimates are over 600 million worldwide. That's after 2 weeks at this, or two and a half weeks before the weekend, on an 80 million. So it's,
that's
like
a lot of money
to have that kind of budget. That's incredible and good for them. If they can do it,
if Steve Carell's smart, he would take a back end deal.
They have to, because he would be making 30 or 50 on this movie if he took a pay, like,
right,
his paycheck would be huge.
Yeah.
He's the star. But anyway, so yeah.
And the first one had a budget of like 70.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it's
increased.
It's creeped up a bit, but not substantially.
Yeah, that's impressive. But I bet you that then that's not all their money. They're dishing that out one way or another. But yeah, so good for that one, making a ton of money.
Maybe I wonder if his backing and deal includes a piece of toys.
Ooh, see that?
Oh,
I'll tell
that
you.
That was where Jack Nicholson made all his money, man.
On that Batman movie,
he made it all off the toys.
Yep.
I mean,
he had a bunch of toys.
I think they said he made almost $100 million by the time it was all said and done.
You know what? They didn't have a bunch of toys. They had...
They did eventually.
They,
well, it was shirts. It was, they had a bunch of shirts.
Oh, that makes sense.
Merchandise.
I will tell you, I remember those toys, and there was a Joker wearing the green hat and the green everything, and I think there may have been a Jack.
But there was a Joker with his likeness, and he made
all that money. There was a Joker figure.
Anytime they made a Joker t-shirt or anything that used his likeness as the Joker, he got a piece.
Right.
And he made a ton of money.
There was a lot of stuff
out
there.
And they were slow to merchandise that movie at first.
Uh-huh.
And
no one knew it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was they were coming off Adam West. So, like, they didn't think that Batman would be... The serious Batman.
Right. That's why it was at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I have those cups.
A fourth rate fast food franchise.
At that point, it was still. But
yeah.
I still love that movie. I know some people watch and say
it does not
hold up
as well. But I like it. I enjoy it.
But I still enjoy it.
It is of its time.
It is.
You would not have the superhero movies you do today without it.
Yeah. Correct.
So you show some goddamn
respect.
Exactly. Right there with
and you accept it. It was of it. It is of its time.
You know,
but,
it's funny. I bought the Scream Factory version of Escape from New York.
Yeah.
And on the commentary, they have a commentary with Dean Cundey, Adrian Barbeau.
Do we have to bleep that?
Yeah, what's sorry. Dean Cundey.
What? Do we have to bleep that?
But the...
And Barboobs.
And Barboobs. Adrian Barboobs. And on their commentary must be new because they reference it like, oh man, there's a scene where he flies in to New York and there's the World Trade Centers, like right there. There's also a commentary with John Carpenter and Kurt Russell, and it must be old because they don't reference it at all. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
I'm sure they added a new commentary track.
Those Scream Factory ones,
you something new.
It was interesting to hear them talk about the World Trade Centers, and they were talking about the buildings themselves, and I was like, they haven't mentioned once that they are not there anymore. I'm like, this must be from like 1999 before it actually happened. It was pretty funny.
But so Despicable Me 3, and I think the merchandise must play a huge part. I mean, they've got that fluffy, it's so fluffy thing, and they get a lot of stuff.
The unicorn?
It's so fluffy.
So fluffy.
Number four, Baby Driver. So that was a movie from 2 weeks ago. It made $8.6 million, which is a 34% drop in week three. That's solid. I mean, I saw it a second time. I loved that movie. I know that some of you guys were
I wouldn't say that I loved it.
You
enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But they've got to be ecstatic.
Absolutely.
Third week in release. No, I can't remember if the first week was really small, but either way, I mean, a 34% drop. It puts that movie at $73 million.
The first week was probably small because it is a Baby Driver.
True.
It tells you in the title.
Yeah. But he's out of diapers quick in that second week.
I think a lot of the budget went to finding a car seat that fits in the driver's seat.
Right.
The
movie only had a $34 million budget, which I think is impressive given the cast, given the director, given the stunts, the practical stuff.
I wouldn't even go so far as to say the cast. Like,
none of those guys command big money.
Spacey.
Yeah.
No, but there's still John Hamm.
But Spacey doesn't open a movie.
No, John Hamm's barely in it.
With all due respect to John Hamm, John Hamm doesn't open a movie.
Nope.
Yeah. But I mean, he's still a caliber. I mean, from Mad Men was huge.
He's a name, but he's not going to be a $10 million.
John Hamm's in that movie for about half an hour.
No, John Bernthal's in it for 15 minutes, but John Hamm has a pretty good
chunk. He's barely in it in the beginning. He's in the beginning for like 5 minutes.
He's got a good chunk in the beginning.
No.
He's got all that stuff in the middle at the diner, and then he comes
John
back
Hamm's
at the
a
end.
Huge character.
Yeah,
now,
yeah, okay, he's, okay. He's, yeah. I forgot about the stuff in the diner, like when the deal starts to go bad.
I'd say he's like the second lead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So,
second male lead.
Jamie Foxx is, I mean, I'm not saying he's an A-lister, demands $20 million, but still $34 million to have Jamie Foxx, John Hamm, the main character.
I think they probably worked a little cheaper because they liked the project,
right.
But again, definitely. I think Jamie Foxx can command a lot of money in the right movie.
Role.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the kind of movie he can command a lot
Amazing
of money for.
Spider-Man 2, for example.
Yeah, that was probably a payday for him. Yeah. But
to be in an Edgar Wright movie, I definitely think you're going to do it. You know,
sure.
For sure. So that only has a $34 million budget, but $14 million overseas so far.
I feel like
and
that's really small for an Edgar Wright movie overseas. I guess this is more of an American movie than...
It might not have rolled out yet.
Well,
either.
This isn't a British movie. That's the thing.
That's
he didn't
saying,
write it with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. It isn't the...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you're at about $90 million on a 34 in 3 weeks, so that's great. That music they had, too, I'm not saying it was the most popular, but they have to license that. It's like, I'm impressed with that budget for sure. And coming in at number five, The Big Sick, that's the Kamal Nunjani. Did anyone see that?
I have not, but I've heard.
I really want to see it.
I've heard nothing but good things.
I think Spath saw it and was a huge fan.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen often when it comes to
Well, if
Brian
Spath says it's good, then you got to see it.
I always say, like, when I asked him about Logan, and I was like, how was it? And he was like, yeah, it was pretty good. And I was like, holy shit, it's got to be amazing.
Yeah, pretty good is amazing. And it was really good is like mind-blowing.
Yeah, right, right.
But that movie is opening in more and more theaters. It made almost $8 million, which was a 121% increase in week four.
He wrote it, right?
I believe it is based somewhat on his life.
Yeah,
I heard.
Yeah, I believe it's based on a true story.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of like that 50-50 movie.
What a great movie that was.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that was good.
So almost $8 million, 121% increase.
I think that was the movie where I fell in love with Anna Kendrick.
The movie for me was...
Up in the Air?
No, it was... was it Rocket something? Something?
Bottle Rocket?
No.
And now, yeah. Join us for Anna Kendrick love stories.
She was a Rocket Science.
What was that?
It's a little indie movie from 2007, and it's about this kid with, like, I think he had a stutter, and he wants to join the debate team.
Okay.
It's like, this movie very much wants to be a Wes Anderson film.
Gotcha.
You know? I really enjoyed it. Yeah, right. Yeah. I really enjoyed it, and she was great in it, and because she plays the captain of the debate team,
okay,
who's just a real bitch.
And, which isn't her role ever.
Yeah, and she was so good in it, and I just remember, like, it was on cable, and I just stumbled across it, and it just really kind of grabbed me, and I'm watching, and then she comes on, mm-hmm. and she's so... I mean, she makes the movie.
Does she happen to be adorable by chance?
No, she's a real bitch.
But I mean...
She's an adorable bitch.
Yeah. Up in the Air is the one where I was like, oh my God, she's so adorable. Yeah. Like, she's so naive and adorable. It's cute.
But I will say...
Squirrel Girl anymore.
Yeah.
I know, that's
right.
A shame.
Yeah.
But although I do like the actress I picked. But it's funny because I felt like Up in the Air was... kind of like she used Rocket Science as a jumping off point, because her character starts off as a bitch
very much
and
so.
Up in the Air, yep. And then, you know, she gets humanized and you understand where she's coming
further
from.
Further.
I love that movie.
That's a great
I wish
bet.
Jason Reitman would make another good movie.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Two buses in a row.
But it was the main actor was Rhys Thompson.
Interesting. I have to look that up.
Why does that name sound familiar?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Yeah. Did he invent the Reese's Pieces?
No, he invented the Thompson's Pumpsons.
Oh. Nice. Yeah. So, The Big Sick is now at $16 million domestic, and it has, or it is now in almost 2,600 theaters. So adding theaters and making a decent amount of money, a lot of good word of mouth on that. It has not really rolled out foreign yet, so it may make even more once it gets distributed over the seas. So number six, Wonder Woman. Talk about a movie sticking around. This is week seven for Wonder Woman and is in the sixth spot. It is $6.5 million this weekend, a 34% drop.
Which That's
is
great.
Extremely impressive.
I think, is it the highest grossing? The highest grossing DCEU film?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
308.
Well, it should be.
Yeah, no kidding.
The best DCEU movie for
Easily.
Sure.
Easily.
Yeah.
The bar was really low, Kevin.
Well, was, yeah. Just selling you the facts. Just the facts. But
she broke the plexiglass ceiling.
She did. Yeah. Right. She broke the movie glass ceiling.
But, you know, we said there was a lot riding on it. You know, female superhero director and first Wonder Woman film. And, man, they nailed it. And they made a ton of money. So $380 million domestically now. Joe? A guess on the overseas?
$1.
$1.
Not quite.
I'll say $5.
It's almost even. So 385.
Oh, really?
So you're approaching 800 million worldwide. Not quite there yet, but
it might get. It'll get to 9 at least. I think
maybe. Yeah.
What's it at?
It's at about almost 800. It's at about 775 ish. 780.
Yeah, unless there's a major territory it hasn't rolled out in. That's an awful lot. Yeah.
I mean, but it's going to cross 800 million on a $150 million budget.
That's
so
all right.
That's
how much you want to take bets right now that she's the leader of the Justice League. That they're going to demote Batman.
Maybe. I don't know.
Affleck's like, son of a.
one more hit on Affleck. Yeah. So anyway, number seven, Wish Upon. What is that? That's
so a PG-13 horror movie.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad.
Where she makes a wish, but every time she gets something that grants her wishes, but every time she makes a wish,
so the monkey's paw,
somebody dies.
Yeah. Oh, not the monkey. Well,
basically, it's kind of bad monkey happens paw, when,
but
yeah.
Like it's more one for one.
Yeah, you know? I do love that the Simpsons episode. All right, I'm gonna vote. I'm gonna wish for a turkey sandwich. On rye bread with whatever. And no spicy mustard. And he takes a bite and he was like, It's not so bad. The turkey's a little dry. It's like, the turkey's a little dry.
Then Maggie uses a wish.
Just for a pacifier.
And it's a limousine. Yeah. And it comes there, just gives her a pacifier and drives off.
World peace. X-ray specs. World peace. X-ray specs.
But yeah, Wish Upon made $5.7 million. I don't have a budget on that, but
Couldn't have been much.
If it's Wish Upon.
Foot rubbing a bomb pop?
No, it had a $12 million budget.
That's
a Blumhouse
movie.
They did the wrong formula there. Yeah. $12 million made $5 million. You're supposed to make it for $5 million.
We should get a producer's credit.
We should.
You did it backwards. You're supposed to make money.
Ah, darn. Well,
What would you do without me?
You dummies.
So I don't think that one will be doing very well next week.
No.
Number 8, Cars 3, in its fifth week in release, made $2.9 million. That's a 46% drop for the Pixar film.
They cannot be happy with that.
No, not. And you know what? Serves them right. Like, the movie's not very good.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Cars 3? Not very good.
I thought it was okay.
It's just funny that, like, you know, the whole idea with what Pixar was doing is like, well, we'll make the sequels and then we'll do the... And then it's like, they might as well have done an original property,
yep.
$140 million.
Out, what, in November? Their original one comes out in November?
Yeah.
Is that right?
But they're at 140? I mean...
Their overseas is 80.
That's crazy.
It can't have rolled out. There's no way it's rolled out everywhere yet.
I mean...
But
that's terrible.
They just announced at D3 that we had like 90 movies that were, I think there was Mary Poppins Returns. There was The Incredible. They showed footage from The Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
They showed.
Well, they're already shooting Mary Poppins, right?
They are. Yeah. Because it was like one of those motion posters where it's Emily Blunt in the costume and then just like she dissipates into whatever.
Like the lenticular.
Yeah. Kind of. But D3 has announced so much stuff coming from Disney in the next D3 was the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
That's
quack.
But yeah,
I think it was in D1, but
it was
still, you can still say it.
They kind of beat Comic-Con to the punch. Like this is their Comic-Con.
That's why they went to this. They were like, why keep giving Comic-Con all the money?
Right. We'll just do it on our own.
Yeah.
I think we'll see the Avengers trailer at Comic-Con, but I mean, they're probably not going to bring anything else. I feel like you have to show that.
It's Disney hasn't even been at D20. They would
go on the off years.
Yeah.
So whenever there was a D23, they would skip Comic-Con.
Okay.
But I mean, you can't have Comic-Con and not show the Avengers trailer.
Right.
Like
that
would be kind of silly.
Yeah. Cars 3 is not in China yet. So I don't know if it will be, but that's a huge chunk of the overseas box office, as we know. But it's in several other countries. I don't know what the deal is with that. But it, about $300 million total on a Pixar, known franchise.
Have we heard any buzz about Coco? Like, has there been any word as to?
I haven't heard anything about it yet. So we'll see. Hopefully it's good. But they definitely are not happy with that for sure.
It looks good.
Yeah, I hope. Hopefully,
what's the next Disney animation one?
Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Is that really what
it's
called?
Which is going to have all the original princesses in it.
Did you know Wreck-It Ralph was
with all their voices?
All the original voices are coming back.
Do you see it?
No, I haven't.
Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet, the arcade gets a website. So that's their way to get onto the internet now.
Right.
And Sugar Rush is broken. And so they're going to get rid of it if they can't find the part to fix it.
Okay.
So Penelope and Ralph go onto the internet to try to find the part. But they run onto the Disney website, official website, and it's all the princesses. And so, of course, Penelope's like, who are all these stuck-up girls? And it's like all
it's
of the princesses.
All the original voices. As many of the original voices
as
they can find.
Some of them can't. I mean, Snow White's got to be dead by now.
She's
not
on there, but it is Belle, and it is Ariel, and it is Tiana, and it is, I mean.
That's cool.
Anna from Frozen is Kristen Bell. There's 10 of them or something. It's awesome.
That sounds cool.
Do you know that movie was in development for like 30 years? Wreck-It Ralph has been in development. That's why it's... I just saw that. Yes. The idea of Wreck-It Ralph has been in development for over 30 years.
So it would have been a cartoon originally?
Yeah. That's why all of the games are retro games.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it would have just been cute because arcade games are a thing of the past.
They updated some of the games,
sure.
But for the most part, they're all... Oh, yeah. Like that's why it was, but it's been
That's
30th,
cool.
Yeah,
I mean the first one was really good. I hope the
second one was insane.
It is.
That's my favorite one they've done.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, geez, there's so many good ones though. You know, like Zootopia and
Zootopia is great.
Yeah,
but Wreck-It Ralph was the one I had the most fun at.
So weird seeing Pixar release these, especially known properties, and them not be that good. And
Disney, Incredibles 2. That's their. I think that might. Incredibles 2 and Toy Story 4, right?
Well, yeah, let's hope. Let's hope.
Brad Bird hopes, too, because he hasn't had a hit in a while either.
Yeah. Well, Tomorrowland was not very good. That's what
I'm saying.
Transformers The Last Knight came in at number 9. That's a 58% drop. And, you know, I know it's not overseas, but only $124 million in the States.
They don't give a fuck, man.
Like, I know, like, but...
Yeah, we'll make another one. No worries.
Movie should make way more than $124 million. Yeah. That's a summer blockbuster staple by now. And it's just... People aren't having it, and the movie's a piece of crap, so it makes sense. But $400 million overseas, which still isn't that great, they're at around $525 million worldwide on a $217 budget, though. So marketing, they get half the ticket sales. Like, they pretty much have to triple it to break even, and they're not there yet. So
good.
I know. So they got toy sales.
There's moments in America we were just talking about where it's, Scott Pilgrim. Where it's like, that should have been
a hit,
a massive hit, and it wasn't because you went to go see Grown Ups 2.
Right.
So it's just like, there are times when you crazy moviegoers, you turn the knife a little bit further, and then this happens. You're like, I feel like Caesar in Planet of the Apes, where my faith has been a little bit restored.
It only took 6 movies. Yeah.
Right. But you know what's interesting? I really feel like this year, though, especially,
there's been a switch.
Moviegoers are sick of sequels, and they're just sick of this crap movies that just cash in on properties because they think they can automatically make money.
Yeah.
There is.
It's interesting, though. They seem, from their sequel standpoint, they seem to be getting more discerning, because, like, Spider-Man, which should have the stink of failure on it, did well, right?
Yeah. Should have the stink of failure on it. Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure.
I mean, Marvel properties excluded, of course, because it's Marvel.
But, I mean,
it had some work to do.
But they did a lackluster Spider-Man movie followed by a turd of a Spider-Man movie, and then rebooted it again inside of 3 years. Yeah. Like, so, I mean, we're on the second reboot within a six-year period.
Did you see the thing from D23?
Uh-uh.
He wears the suit. Spider-Man. He's wearing that new suit.
Oh, is he?
In the trailer, yeah.
Gotcha.
He's got to fight Thanos. Like, they have to give him a way to not be totally...
By the way, I'm just going to... Speculation corner right now. If you have New Avengers Volume 3, Number 10, double bag it.
Iron Spider?
No, what? It's the first appearance of Thane, who was the son of Thanos, who apparently is in this movie. Mm. So, double down on that one. Gotcha. There's your speculation right now.
But, you know, and then, you know, and then Transformers people seem to be steering clear of.
Yeah.
But then they'll go see Wonder Woman. They'll go see Spider-Man. They'll go see Planet of the Apes. You know, they seem to be getting a little bit better about
discerning, like you said. That's the thing I mean. I don't mean like they're just sick of sequels. I mean, there's like a cash grab sequels.
Yeah.
People are like, I will go see this because it looks good and has good actors and maybe good reviews even people are paying attention to.
And it used to be you got one of these kind of nerd or comic book movies. You might get, you know, at first it was you might get one or two a year.
Christ, then, we're getting like six.
And then it became one or two a quarter. And right now in the top 10, I mean, you have Transformers, I think you could count Cars, I think you Wonder Woman, Baby Driver, Spider-Man, Planet of the Apes, and you could maybe even count Despicable Me. If you want to be that gracious, 6 of the top 10 films have some sort of like
property
nerd
behind.
Comic book, you know.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And from a franchise standpoint, you have Planet of the Apes, Spider-Man, Despicable Me, Wonder Woman, Cars 3, Transformers. So 6 of the
top,
films are a sequel or a franchise extension or, you know, some form
sort.
Or another.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's nice to see people be more discerning. I mean, it's no problem if you want to go, you know, give money to one of these sequels, but it's like when you see another movie fail that should not be failing.
It
sucks to see it lose it to a Transformers 5. So it's kind of nice that they're not.
I think one of the things Planet of the Apes does so well, not to get in front of ourselves,
save it for the next episode. But
I feel like they've almost taken a lesson from television in that those movies are plotted like a television series.
Oh, absolutely.
In terms of like each one moves the story forward. It's not like, it's not, we need to include these three action set pieces, now connect the dots. Like they're telling an honest to God story that's moving forward with each film.
I agree. Yeah. It's not like they treat these movies like seasons.
You're right.
Yeah. So it's not just like an episode, but we are moving the story along. We have a story to tell, you know, and I don't think Matt Reeves knew what he was gonna like. I think he knew what he was gonna do with two and three, like two for sure,
right?
But he inherited two,
right?
Like that wasn't his baby,
sure.
So he at least had a vision,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, rounding out the top 10 is The House, which opened a couple weeks ago, which unfortunately is not making any money. That's Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler.
Oh, that looked terrible.
And Jason Mantzoukas, which, you know, it's the biggest role Jason Mantzoukas has ever had. And I'm such a big fan of his. I really wanted him to break out from a big summer
that
comedy.
Looked awful.
It's weird how that just kind of got dumped in the theaters with no screenings.
Well,
no...
nobody, they didn't screen it. Like, yeah. They just, no one knew it was even out, and then it's buried by
they
everything
also put
else.
Up against, did they put up against Spider-Man? Did they come out the same week as Spider-Man?
It was 2 weeks ago, and Spider-Man was...
Last week.
It was two. Spider-Man was two, House was three.
Okay.
But yeah, it's unfortunate, just again, because I wanted to see Jason Mantzoukas. I mean, Poehler and Ferrell will be fine, but it's like Jason Mantzoukas has been in The Dictator,
yeah,
and The House, and it's like the guy's so funny, but his movies that he's in, the big ones that he's in, have not done well, and it just sucks because that guy I feel is really funny,
right?
You know,
we are just getting confirmation, Tom, that Kevin Hart is not the genie.
Yes, it's going to be Will Smith.
So Will Smith has signed the deal.
Which
he's
is
in.
Which
you
is
called a, it? We or do we know that there was speculation that it was Will Smith?
There was speculation.
And I think at one point. We guessed. I might have even said, like, yeah. I think before you said Kevin Hart, I might have said Will Smith.
I don't remember.
I feel like.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. that's your. Apparently, they're also having a hard time casting Aladdin and Jasmine.
Yes.
They're having a difficult.
Well, they did it.
They did, but they it was a rough.
They say
go.
Who it was?
Yeah, it's Pink Ranger from Power Rangers is Jasmine.
Ooh.
She's white.
Really? She is white.
She's very white.
Wow.
I thought the whole point of why they were having such a hard time is that they were trying to ensure
that
they
didn't. Why
didn't
they just go to Bollywood?
Well, they just went to Pink Ranger from Power Rangers.
But I mean,
so.
Like, why would they even? I mean,
because they're stupid. I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense at all. Did they not learn anything from Aloha?
I mean, Aladdin, his name is like Musa. Like, he is
some descent, Middle Eastern descent.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, she's just,
that is insane.
Yeah, I don't know why they would do that, but
I guess they're just like, hey, Guy Ritchie, you think your career is in the tank now? Now try this.
Yeah, I mean, because there are, if you see, I mean, there are so many Bollywood actresses,
right,
that are you know, good actresses,
and they're good act,
and
I'm
they can
sure,
sing,
they can sing, they,
exactly,
they can dance,
singing.
You can get them on the cheap. And I don't mean that like you can pay them,
but they're not,
a day's,
yeah,
wage, but you're not going to pay them.
But this movie isn't about, this movie doesn't need stars.
No.
You know, right, what I mean? You,
right,
need a star in the role of the genie.
And you've got than, one.
And you got one.
This should be a star making.
And other than that, you don't, need to invest your money
Why
in
don't
stars.
Why did they get Dev Patel?
I think they,
old,
they
I
looked
think.
At him, I think, but they just they,
oh, really?
They decided not to go that direction.
I mean, I think he'd be good, but I mean, he is a young looking guy, but yeah. I just feel like he's a little,
yeah,
little
shave
old.
His beard off. I yeah. think he could look.
I think he's a little old for that role.
But that's just unfortunate because I think there were so many actresses that would look the part and do a good job, and I don't know why. And it's not like Power Rangers or that actress is some super well known.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they didn't get it for her name, so they must have seen something. But I just don't get
that's
why.
That's a dumb move, man.
I think it is.
That's
but,
really silly.
I concur.
But anyway, so we'll see what happens with that. But The House has made $23 million total, which in its third week. So definitely not what Warner's wanted from that one. I'm looking to see if it does have a budget. The House had a $40 million budget. So they've only made about half their budget back, a little more. So
whoops. And yeah, you would think with a Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler team up on paper, that should
that's
do.
Exactly. I don't know. And from what I heard, most of the movie was improv. You know, it's a lot of that.
Oh.
You know, Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler just doing their thing. So
yeah.
I guess it just didn't. It wasn't enough to.
I also thought it felt very similar to, was it Sisters? Is that the one she did with Tina Fey that opened the same day as Force Awakens?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what John Cena. He's the drug dealer.
Okay, yeah,
tattoos, yeah.
And that movie ended
up... funny.
It was funny, and it ended up doing well, especially considering what it went up against, because it had legs, like it kind of
kept
churning
along.
Yeah, but it was also a very similar premise of, like, they're throwing a big party in their parents' house, and, like, it was just where this is they're turning their house into a casino. Like, it's just... I'm like, boy, this is really...
I don't think Will Smith could open a... Will Ferrell could open a movie by himself anymore.
I don't know, Big Daddy...
Daddy's Home.
Or Daddy's
Home. Yeah, but that was Mark Wahlberg. They were coming off.
Yeah.
But this is Poehler, who's big too, though. So
right.
It's not just Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Is she big in movies, though?
Yeah,
like,
both
those. I think she's a.
Oh,
she's,
yeah.
I don't know. What was that?
Yeah. All her movies with Tina Fey and.
But then again, she's paired up with
Tina Fey.
But she's really only done two movies with Tina Fey. She did Sisters and she did Baby Mama. And Baby Mama was.
it didn't do very
10
well.
Or 15 years ago, and I don't think it was much of a hit at the time. And, you know, but beyond... Well,
and Daddy's Home's getting a sequel.
Yeah.
Like, which looks very funny. Yeah. Like, that's, you know, the John Lithgow stuff.
I saw the trailer for it. I liked what they did. How they introduced the fathers. I thought Mel Gibson as Mark Wahlberg's dad is brilliant. What a way to take a kind of a damaged actor and put him in a role where you get to, it's reminiscent, and I mean this in a good way, of Tom Cruise in Night and Day when I say, steer into the skid, you know, and I think that's a really smart way to do that. And John Lithgow is Will Ferrell's dad too. So hopefully it's a good movie. I still haven't seen the first one.
One's very funny.
I haven't seen it either. Yeah, I like it a lot.
But I will say, based on the trailer, I'm like, they're making smart choices. Yeah. I got to give them that.
I like the other guys.
The other guys was funny. Like that.
Thought parts of it were really funny, and parts of it I was just like, get to it.
I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was funny.
I think that movie, they're trying to figure their dynamic out.
Yeah.
And then they figure it out in Daddy's Home, and now it looks like they're
a troupe.
They're a new comedy duo.
So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess that's it.
Before we get out of here, Nick Scott, today's his birthday. Listener to Nick Scott.
Oh, okay.
So happy birthday, Nick.
So 4 days ago was his birthday.
Yeah. So today, when we're recording this, happy birthday, Nick.
When you hear this, it won't be your birthday.
It's happy belated birthday.
So
hold on. Happy birthday yesterday. Yeah. Happy birthday 2 days ago. Happy birthday 7 days ago.
I think belated birthday suited it just fine.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So, anywho... that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, find us at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on our League of Show Sharers page or group, rather, if you want to get hyper Facebook technical.
And we do, Tom.
And we do.
Yes, we do.
And you can also visit our website if you're sitting at your desktop and just want to stream one online. Sounds a little dirty when I say it like that.
Well, then you know what website you got to go to.
Stream one online.
If that's what you want to do, go to dirtypiratehookers.com. Or if you want to keep it clean, go to realspoilers.com. So either one is fully acceptable.
But just make sure that if you're at work, that you do a voice-to-text translation, and you make sure you tell your phone to go to dirtypiratehookers.com.
Yes.
Make sure everyone in the office can hear that.
Absolutely. So do it. So that's it for this episode. Coming up next time, we will tackle War for the Planet of the Apes. For some reason, all I could think of was Amazing Spider-Man. Spider-Man. We did that.
You know, like the fourth or fifth is called Battle for the Planet of the Apes. So it gets confusing because it's like there is a battle for the Planet of the Apes. Yeah. This is War for the Planet of the Apes. So,
So anyway, coming up on the next one, we will tackle War for the Planet of the Apes. Until then, you've been warned.
Help, the human's about to escape.
Get your paws off me, you dirty ape.
He can talk.
He can talk.
I can sing.
Ooh, help me,
Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius.
What's wrong with me?
I think you're crazy.
Want a second opinion?
You're also lazy.
Dr. Zaius.
Can I play the piano anymore?
Of course you can.
Well, I couldn't before.
Dr. Zaius.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius, oh, Dr. Zaius.
test.